All right, how's it going, everybody? Gloves Off Radio back on the air. It is Ian, and joining me tonight is Mike. Mike, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm back. And my sister got me a great birthday present.
What is that?
16-inch Coors Original aluminum cans. Or 16-ounce. I'd say 16-inch, yeah. But yeah, these goes on pretty smooth.
You were given beer, huh?
Yeah. My sister knows I enjoy the simple things of life.
What do you think about Amstel? What do you think about that?
Ooh,
that piss beer?
No, I don't mind it. I know Bobco hates it.
Yeah, well, I was in Atlanta for work, and they were selling some Amstel. I think it was Amstel Light for like $7 at the Marriott bar we were staying at. And the guy I was with is not a fan. He was asking the waitress, like, how much are you selling that piss water for? She's like, about $7. She started laughing. Anyway, well, that's...
You know what'll piss off a bartender? When they're clearly overcharged for something, and you ask a bartender, do I get ahead with that or what?
Yeah, well...
I asked a guy that before, and he didn't, like, get embarrassed. He was just flat out pissed off, wanted to fight me.
We were sitting at the restaurant part of the bar, so we had a waitress, and she was very friendly. All right, anyway, so let's get down to it. We are recording this here late Friday evening. Blackhawks just finished off another Blue Jackets at home. I haven't been able to do a show for a couple weeks here due to personal and work-related circumstances, so got a lot of games to discuss. Do you just want to kind of start with some of the more recent games and kind of work our way backwards, that we kind of can jog our memories a little bit here and kind of go from there?
Yeah.
That. I guess we'll just start off talking about tonight's game. Obviously, that's the most precious one in our mind. So, as we said, 4-3 winners tonight over Columbus. I should mention the quick numbers. We had goals in the game by, let's see if I can do it off the top of my head. We had Bickle with a goal. We had Stahlberg with a goal, of course, against Columbus. We had Patrick Sharp with a goal. And then Brent Seabrook got the overtime goal from Jonathan Toews. Ray Emery was in the nets for Corey Crawford's mysterious illness or whatever the hell's going on.
Anybody even find out what that?
No, it's very secretive. You know how the league is: lower body, upper body.
You know, the Bears try to be like that, but they're not good at it at all. Blackhawks are good at it. You don't find out what's wrong.
In the Bears, just in football, there's too many sideline reporters or even just reporters in general's connections and the team. Mm-hmm. So many more players who can, squeal stuff out, and trainers and crap like that. So, yeah, it was very bizarre because he started the game, as we'll obviously get into, against St. Louis the evening before last year, and he was removed after the first period. And Quenneville said there was there was no big blow or, no big spot where he injured himself. It was, hit by an opposing player or something like that where he could have injured himself. And it was not related to his last injury, which I believe was a concussion, speculated upon being a concussion at least.
And once Quenneville said it's not related to a concussion, just throw that out the window. I don't even think they even admit when the guy got a concussion. But I just didn't know what the hell was wrong with him. I mean, from what they're saying, he was probably dehydrated, which was possible. But I mean, what did he play 6 minutes?
Well, yeah, he played the entire first period and then just disappeared. And Lord knows, I don't know. I guess you'll never really know. It's how they are. But so I guess going into tonight, or I should say going into getting back to tonight's game, as we talked about, a 4-3 win. Kind of a strange game. It seemed like the score should have been obviously a lot more lopsided in favor of the Blackhawks. They had a lot of kind of misses that open nets. They had a lot of posts. I guess Columbus certainly had their fair share of open net opportunities. They whiffed on or had some Emery made some very good saves there.
He made some good saves. I'm not getting down on Emery at all, but there was some spots he didn't look very good at all. Just kind of lost. He got.
Not necessarily an excuse for the performance. Obviously, they won, so that's all you can ask them to do. But mm-hmm. They seemed kind of tired out there. The ice didn't seem very good, in my opinion. Obviously, I'm not a professional skater. I don't know anything about that. But just from watching, it didn't seem that good. The Bulls played there last night, so maybe that had something to do with the ice. A lot of the puck kind of bouncing around a lot out there.
They can't do anything right in Columbus for hockey. How the hell are ice supposed to be good? There's always a problem there with the ice.
Well, the game was here.
Hmm?
I said the game was here in Chicago, though.
You know what? I think I got dehydrated.
But, so we did have two fights in this game. We had Sheldon Brookbank dropping the mitts, and we also had our other co-host, Ken's favorite gentleman, Daniel Carcillo, dropping the mitts. Yeah. You know, and this, but before we get to the fisticuffs, I just want to get your thoughts on this. What is your opinion on apparently this apparent rotation, this basically platoon system here that we have of Saad and Carcillo, where Saad starts the game and then he disappears for a while, and then he kind of comes back for a while on the top line? What are your thoughts on that?
That's just Quenneville. I don't know. I don't like Carcillo out there as much as he is. You know, he didn't have a terrible game out there tonight. Of course, one goal for the other team did go off his leg, but not going to blame that on him.
Right.
I don't like to.
Well, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know. He's trying to be careful with Saad. I know that. I know it's not really about Carcillo. It's more about, making sure you're not overplaying Saad, in which he didn't have a great game tonight either. That might have been part of it.
Well, but in the case of the game the other night against the Blues, Saad was on the ice when they got their first goal 12 seconds in, and then he just wasn't on the ice anymore on that line, and he was, demoted, if you will, down to the fourth line. I guess theoretically, in the case of St. Louis, you could say, hey, the game started out, there was some chippiness going on back and forth, and you just wanted to, kind of protect your guy, then okay, that's fine, I get that. But, yes, granted, there were two fights in this game against Columbus, but, Columbus is not necessarily known for being a, feisty, rowdy team with, a bad blood rivalry with the Hawks here, which is certainly the case with St. Louis. But I don't know. I personally don't care for it. I mean, I don't have the hatred for Carcillo that Ken has, and perhaps you now are sliding to that side
really,
of the aisle.
I don't really have hate for him, but I don't think he belongs on the ice as much as he is on the ice sometimes.
Well, apparently they seem to think his speed goes well with the top two guys. And, excuse me. I don't know. It's you really haven't seen enough of him healthy and, at his full capabilities to really judge him.
Yeah, that's part of it. I've gotten so frustrated with him because, I haven't seen him play for more than a week or two with the Hawks pretty much. I mean, what did he last when he got hurt the first time? Was it like, I think it was a month he played before he hurt himself and got suspended?
Yeah, he had that. He had the injury last year, and this is what.
Yeah.
The whole timeline seems fuzzy now because of the lockout. So how long he's? I mean, obviously he's only been here 1 year in the lockout, then the portion of the season now. But
yeah, I don't think he's played 30 games.
No, he had the suspension last year. It also with the injury as well.
He was fine. He was fine when he got here, but obviously Ben did something stupid and then kept getting hurt, and it's like, I'm just kind of sick of him. It's like, I don't know why they keep trying to make him part of the puzzle.
Yeah, obviously I can only assume they feel that they need his, what his grit, sandpaper can be. And yeah. and they like the fact that his toughness is also basically he has the toughness in their mind. I think their opinion is he has the toughness and also has the speed. Theoretically, that's what their opinion is to play on that top line. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think they seem to think, well, for now it's working out, and we're just not going to tinker too much with it. I mean, to Quenneville's credit, he has been very. Very not strict with the line changes, but he's only really been making changes unless it's there's been an injury or some guy just need to get some bottom of the roster shuffling, so to speak, with when Carcillo came back and they started rotating Mayer's and Bolig in and out of the game a little bit. I mean, that That I understand, but he's been pretty consistent with the
Yeah,
line changes this year, which is pretty surprising.
I'll give him that. I remember we were giving him shit over the lockout, talking about his coaching style and how it'll drive you nuts, but he's been pretty consistent with it, and I don't see why he wouldn't be. I mean, they haven't lost a game, so. But it's gonna happen. Way to lose a couple games in a row.
Certainly is.
See everything change. You'll see Kane on the third line.
So we talked about we had two fights in the game. Nothing really to go by. I thought the Garcilo fight was a little bit funny. The guy he was fighting, obviously not a fighter, and didn't really seem to want to be fighting. You saw him kind of kept looking over the referees to come break it up. Garcilo
Don't get me
kept
now.
beating his ass. Yeah, so that was somewhat entertaining. Other than that, kind of a, like I said, in my opinion, kind of a sloppy game from the Hawks, but Columbus kind of battled them all the way, so obviously you have to give them credit as well. They didn't just kind of roll over out there, so they played hard, and good effort, good win. Let's go back to, let's see, this was yesterday, wasn't it? All my days
Oh,
doubled together.
please. You see, tonight, I thought Sharp was going to get hurt. You see, Kane put that puck off his head.
Yeah, I saw the play. I guess I didn't see very closely where it hit him. I just remember Foley talking about, oh, cause from what I remember seeing on the replay, like Sharp just fell down, or they stumbled backwards basically, and Foley made some kind of comment like, oh, I think that hit him. It's like, well, clearly it hit him. He fell over. He was shot with a gun. I mean, yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, it got him pretty good. Hopefully, I don't think he was hurt, obviously, but
Well, that on the heels of Brent Seabrook taking one on the lower body
oh
recently.
yeah, he missed a game over
Yeah,
it.
work is hard, as they say.
You saw that after Sharp got up and was skating around, he still was like trying to throw the cobwebs out, and you kind of see a smirk on Kane's face. So I would imagine there's going to be some razzing about that. Those two are always going at each other, goofing around.
Yeah. Damn, one of the notes. That game either. Okay, so the game the other night, Thursday, against St. Louis in St. Louis. Blackhawks, another what new? Another shutout, Mike. What new?
Yeah.
Another shutout. They're getting too easy. Becoming too accustomed
Combined
to it.
shutout.
Is it a combine? Like it's the combined no hitter in baseball. I love those. Eight guys combined to shut them out and no hit them. Well, that's great. As we mentioned, Crawford got the start in that game. He was removed for injury or whatever the hell it was, and
Yeah.
we're apparently the fans and the media are on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know why he was gone. Only we need to know he's fine now. Hawks won the game 3-0. A great game. Yeah, there was some typical feistiness in the game as you expect from the Blues. Some, of course, cheap shots as always. We had a excuse me. We had the, I guess, the threat of a fight breaking out between Reed
Yeah,
and
what the
Bolig,
hell is that? How
and
do
then
you get
the.
a 5-minute penalty when they don't let you fight?
Well, there was obviously the intent of fighting, apparently, and they didn't like
Well,
it for.
it's not like it was Taves and Oshie or something like that. It's two guys that fight all the time.
Well, I yeah, it just seemed. Well, for those of you who didn't see it, yeah, in the game against St. Louis, there was going to be a showdown between Reeves and Bolig. Both guys wanted to go at it, and I guess since the linesmen were there and basically the players had to kind of skate around the linesmen to get to each other, they decided, well, fuck it, let's just break it up. There should be, fighting technically is, not allowed anyway, so let's just stop it. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were instructed to keep the violence out of it. I don't know. Who knows what to
That's
say?
what I was talking to a few people about that. It's almost like they were instructed, like they knew this game was going to get out of hand or something. Maybe keep a leash in the fucking Blues, teams like them. In Vancouver. Even though she was trying to start shit with Hossa, that was hilarious. Hossa's just like laughing at him.
Yeah, there was I personally I enjoy watching the games against St. Louis more than the games against Detroit. Detroit obviously, it's more of a finesse game back and forth and just kind of high speed, which is fine,
Yeah.
but I kind of like the bad blood, and the potential fisticuffs back and forth personally.
Oh, the Neanderthal aspect of it, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, I don't want to see someone swinging a stick at another guy, but Sure. I mean, granted, I mean, I don't even need the actual fighting aspect either. I just like the bad blood, you know, the pushing after the whistle and the jaw jacking back and forth. I enjoy that aspect of it. So, but that was it's a great dominant game. Hawks is pretty the whole. It was I guess I don't want to say toying with them, but that's the way it kind of came across. Like it was the game was never in doubt.
They were making. They made him look stupid.
Yeah, they basically had it all the way. It was just the real okay. We got it. No problem.
And you, I heard. I was listening to Score today, and I guess there was a big trend on Twitter. All the Blues fans were hashtagging "End the streak" or something like that. It
Well, they need something to
didn't
do.
happen. How'd that work for him?
No, well, it was very certainly audible on TV, and of course, people were obviously watching on TV as well. You could see there were a lot of Hawk fans at the game, and there was a lot of they were trying to get the "Let's Go Hawks" chant going.
Yeah, did you hear that in the third period? I couldn't believe how loud that was.
Well, you could even hear it earlier in the game, and it was you heard the "Let's Go," and then you could kind of hear the Hawks, but the Blues fans were trying to chant Blues, you know, basically to out cheer them. And yeah, it was a good atmosphere, and obviously the announcers made mention of it on TV as well. Let's go. What was the game before that? The game before that was, excuse me, sorry, a little tired. The game on the 25th.
You know, there's supposed to be like a cough button for you to do radio. Isn't there a yawn button?
No, I don't have either of those two things here.
Well, that's right. We're not professional anyway.
No, I just have a headset. No, I've contemplated getting a microphone, but it's tough with my crappy
Kidding me? I've
computer.
had hiccups on the air when I'm drinking.
No, I have a Guinness, imported Guinness extra stout.
Wow.
That's right. I got on some. I got on
You
the
know,
Guinness.
grown up, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I got on the Guinness train while on my trip to Atlanta for work at an Irish bar. So yeah, brought it with me. That's all.
That stuff is a meal.
It's pretty good. So let's go back to the 25th against the Oilers. 3-2 Blackhawks win in overtime. Hawk goals in this game scored by Kane, Stahlberg, and Hossa. No fights. Hawks outshot the Oilers 34-19. Ray Emery was the goalie. Hawks had four penalties in the game compared to two for the Oilers. Hossa and Kane team high five shots, and Frolik had four. So pretty much the games from here going back, I really didn't get to see much of because I was on vacation, or not vacation, excuse me, traveling for work. I saw one of the games against the Sharks, but that game was on NHL Network, but the rest of it I was not able to see. Do you have any recollection of this game here, Mike? I saw some of the highlights of it, but not much of the.
Sharks game.
This is the game against the Oilers on the 25th.
The Oilers. I remember their big star was out. What the hell happened to him? I forget why he wasn't playing. Was he in? He wouldn't. I think he was suspended, wasn't he?
I honestly, I don't remember.
Tyler Hall is that his name? No, not that. The hell's his name? He didn't play though. Anyway, no, off the top of my head, I'd have to look at stat sheets or something, but there was nothing really spectacular about that game.
Well, the one thing that I noticed when I was kind of putting together the quick
I
number.
was, you know what I did notice about that game? I've noticed the last couple of games, the Hawks ain't getting any calls for shit. They're definitely not getting help by the refs. I mean, they're still finding ways to win, but I even saw it like there could have been a penalty called tonight on who the fuck was it? Whoever the hell tripped up Pickle, he could have really screwed himself up after that goal.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I noticed when I was putting together all these notes was the Hawks haven't really been out shooting a lot of teams in the game. And I was thinking, of course, in the game we're talking about now, the game on the 24th against the Blue Jackets. The Hawks outshot the Blue Jackets only by one goal, or one goal, one shot. But in a lot of the other games, it's been usually a 5 to 10 shot discrepancy, which is, you always like to talk about the games of yesteryear when Hugh Wei was in the net and they would keep the puck away from him because he couldn't stop anything.
That's pretty much what it's been. They're not letting them have the puck.
So this game on the 24th against the Blue Jackets, 1-0 Blackhawks win. So yet another shutout, my friend. The lone goal in the game scored by Shaw. No fights. Troy Crawford was the goalie. Hawks were called for seven penalties in the game compared to only five for Columbus. And Patrick Sharp, team high, 8 shots. That's my notes on that one again. A game I didn't see, but obviously shutouts are good. Yeah, I don't know. So I didn't see. Like, I haven't had a chance to kind of really go back and do. It's weird because when I was on my trip, I had NHL Network in the room, and like the show's usually an hour long, the On the Fly show, and you'll watch it or NHL Tonight, whatever it's called now, and it just gets to be a pain in the ass because they kept sort of previewing, hey, after the break we'll show the highlights of these games, and then they would come back and not show the highlights of those games, and it got to be real annoying. And I know you don't have NHL Network anymore apparently, due to what do you have, AT&T or
started on that.
Yeah, well. So going back before that, we had a game on 2/22 against the Sharks. 2-1 Blackhawks win that game. Hawk goals in that game scored by Stahlberg and Saad. Hawks outshot the Sharks 34-27. Ray Emery was the starter. Hawks called for 5 penalties in the game compared to 4 for the Sharks. Stahlberg team high 5 shots. Another game I didn't see.
That was another game. Emery was fucking brilliant. Even like that Columbus game, I think Crawford got that shutout, right?
This one, I think Columbus game. Yeah, that was Crawford, correct? Yes.
Yeah. He stole that game. And the Hawks, if I remember right, they kind of played shitty there. That's a goalie win. That's one thing I like it this year. You're getting goalie wins out of them.
Well, that's the way that we talked about that even when we had our friend Andy on the show. We talked about not having a lot of belief in the goaltending, but so far we've been proven wrong, or at least they've stepped up.
Before, I said in the offseason, I need to see one shutout out of Crawford, and I'll believe, because he didn't get one all last year. He got a couple of them now.
Yeah, there was, let's see, one second. No, okay, never mind. Not worth reading. Let's see. Although, let's go back to a game hopefully you'll have some more thoughts on. 2/19 against the Canucks. 4-3 Blackhawks were winners in the shootout. Hawk goals and regulation scored by Sharp and Hossa. We did have a fight in this game. Brandon Bolig fought Dale Weiss. Hawks outshot the Canucks 43-32. Ray Emery was the starter. Hawks were called for 7 penalties in the game compared to 8 for the Canucks. Sharp team high 7 shots, and Taves with 6 as well. So another game. I know I saw more of the highlights of this one, but not a lot of the action. I know obviously in this game the Hawks had a 2-goal lead late, or was it either 1 or 2-goal lead? I know that Vancouver came back and tied it late.
Trying to remember some specific points in this game with some of the bullshit that goes along with Vancouver.
Well, this was also the game where Hossa got hit again, wasn't it? Where Hossa got hit with that play where they were both jumping for the puck or something like that, and they got he got the elbow to the head.
Of course, they don't call a penalty on it, and then they suspend him for 1 game. NHL's a joke.
What? The suspension part didn't shock me. No, there are people online thought it would be 3 or 4 or 5 games. It's like not 1 at the most. You know how this league.
Well, what doesn't help the cause is when the refs don't even call a fucking penalty on them. I mean, they see clear, you know, gets hit in the head. I mean, there was no penalty called on Torres when he just about made Hossa retarded. You know, there's another play this year. Should have been, if I remember off the top of my head, should have been a penalty, an illegal hit. Was it on one of the ones? I think it was one where Bolig got in a fight. Yeah, somebody hit Kruger, left his feet, and then Bolig got a hold of him and wasn't taking any of that shit. What the hell game was that? But there's a bunch of shit not being called. I mean, clearly illegal hits not being called as a penalty. Then the league's going and reviewing the shit. It's like, all right, when's the league going to start finally saying that you guys are getting this wrong on the ice?
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of calling the game a little bit differently than they were earlier in the season. And that seems to be the way most sports are, is that, we always hear in training camp how all the officials are coming to town to talk to the players about the new rules and the new things they're going to be looking for. And then in the first, week or two, it's getting called kind of tight, this new rule. And then all of a sudden, that just goes away, and you never hear about it anymore, and they don't call it anymore. And it's just kind of par for the course. But, yeah, so the game against Vancouver, I believe it was, from what I remember in the highlights, was Shaw scored the winner in the shootout in this game, because obviously Hossa was not available to come back after his injury
Yeah, I was
sustained in this
yelling at the
game.
TV with Quenville's lineup. I mean, they say it would have been Hossa, but you never know. I mean, Quenville, yeah, out of the way he works, he would have rewarded Hossa with it, which I don't see why Hossa needs to be rewarded to be your top three. He's one of your top three shooters, bottom line. It should be the same three. We talked about that before, but, I was throwing a fit. I was like, there's somebody better than Shaw out there. Come on. You gotta give him a better chance at number three. And then he scores, and of course, I was ecstatic. Well, that one worked out good.
Yeah, well, it seems like he's. I guess I didn't read the reasoning as to why he went with the Shaw outside of Hossa not being available, or outside of one of those. Well, he's been doing good in practice kind of
I
scenarios.
can't see why Hossa wouldn't want to do it. That can't be the reason, because whenever Detroit went in the shootout, they had Hossa in their top three.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'd have to ask Kim. I don't think he's coming on the show anytime soon, but I don't know. So
Probably not.
that's what I don't
If he
even.
was, he wouldn't tell us shit.
Exactly. Okay, so let's go back to the game prior to that, which was on, let's scroll up here, 217 against the Kings, a 3-2 Blackhawks win. Hawk goals in that game was Seabrook, Taves, and Sharp. Hawks outshot the Kings 37-27. Ramrig got the start in the net. Five penalties for the Hawks, 4-6 for the Kings in the game, and Taves team high with six shots. Another game I did not get a chance to see. I guess the one thing that's been pretty, get rid of that for a second, sorry, is we've talked, well, I shouldn't say talked about, but with this streak that they've been on here, is that perhaps I'm not remembering correctly, but I can't remember many games in this period where they've actually gotten down by more than two goals and kind of to battle back. Seems like every game they're either leading, there's kind of a little snafu late in the game, like tonight, for example, where they were, leading 3-2, and then they gave up a goal late, somewhat late in the game to kind of get to overtime, and they win in overtime. Again, perhaps I'm not remembering all the games properly, but I don't recall any game where they've really gotten down, late in the game by a couple goals and had to battle back. There's one game, I guess we'll get to it a little bit later, but the Calgary game, that could be a different situation. But
Yeah, the
in this.
Calgary game was the only game I felt like they're gonna lose.
Yeah, and throughout this whole thing, it's pretty much been either they've just kind of, dominated and won the whole time, or just kind of, gotten out to a couple goal lead and just happened to hang on, hang out for dear life
You
and
know what?
win.
I
But.
haven't looked at Calgary's record. Are they the team that we saw, or was that just a good night for them? Because they look freaking pretty scary to me. I mean, they look freaking good against the Hawks, real good.
Well, let's take a look right and see what the up to the date standings are. Yeah, I don't follow Calgary. Not really much of a reason to, honestly. But let's take a look on that. I should tell you, by the way, Mike. As I mentioned, I had a work trip to Atlanta, and then I was attempting to fly back Tuesday, and of course we had the snow apocalypse or something of that nature. And my flight was delayed two times, and then in the air we end up getting diverted because we couldn't land at O'Hare. We got diverted to Milwaukee. That's a,
Oh, of
that's a,
all places.
exactly to Milwaukee. With and then from there we proceeded to get virtually zero information about when our flight could potentially leave again, if it would leave again, until it was just canceled without notice. I mean, obviously, well, I should say without notice. Obviously, but it's, as a couple hours passed, you didn't hear anything, which is, I guess, to be expected at that point. But yeah, the sad thing was there's not a lot of way of transportation out of there in terms of they had a couple of buses that were running back to O'Hare, but by the time we kind of realized what the hell was going on, there was only one chance to catch this 8 o'clock bus to go back to O'Hare, and of course there were obviously a lot of flights canceled that day, so that was kind of a very remote possibility because of the amount of people trying to get on a bus to go, you know, with all their bags, go to O'Hare. But then we had to, so anyway, long story, we ended up renting a car with seven people, a van, driving back from the Milwaukee airport with all of our luggage and shit in there. Very exciting. So this was on the wonderful United Airlines, of course.
That's what I was telling you. Like, I haven't been on a plane in over 7 years, and I'm happy about it. The last time I was on a plane, I was all kinds of pissed off on the way back.
Yeah, it was not a good time. But to answer your question, Calgary is in last place in the Northwest Division here in the Western Conference.
Wow.
They've played 19 games. They have seven. Well, this is as of now, I guess, as most current standings. 19 games, 7 wins, 8 losses, 4 overtime games, 18 points. And let's see here. They have allowed 66 goals, and they've only scored 53, so they're negative 13. And
it just shows you, I haven't followed that much, but just looking at that night against the Hawks, they look good, but I guess they're not that good.
No, well, they're... Why?
I mean, they were the only team that really skated right with the Hawks and attempted to outskate them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I should say somewhat to their note here, they're in fifth place with 18 points, and Vancouver is in first place in that division with 24. So it's not, you know, it's not as if they're being buried. You know, it's like it's a real debacle here.
What have the Hawks got now? 37 points.
Yeah, they've got 18 and 3. So, well, no, 18 would be 36 and 3 more after that, so 39. Yeah.
Wow.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
It's but you know, I was talking to a few people about this, and it's like, it can, and I'm sure Ken would agree with this because he's kind of, Ken's all kinds of bitter about everything that involves hockey these days, including the Hawks streak.
Yeah, something like that.
The only thing that I can get him to agree with, which I do agree with this, is that this streak doesn't mean shit if they don't win the cup. Because you can talk about it all you want. Oh, yeah, remember that year when the Hawks? Oh, yeah, and then they got knocked out in the playoffs. But, no, it wouldn't. You won't win the cup, and it's pure dominance from start to finish, you know?
Well, I'd say, yeah, it's the same thing. You don't see many people talking about the Mariners for the year they won 116 games, or the hell it was, 2001 or something like that. And they got dumped in the first round of the playoffs. Yeah, that was memorable for that. But going back, let's see, 225 against the Sharks. Hawks won the game 4-1. Hawk goals in that game, Bolin, Kruger, Shaw, and Jarmelson. Hawks outshot the Sharks 37-28. Hawks, the thing of note to talk about in this game was there was a fight in this game between Jonathan Toews and Joe Thornton.
That was funny but scary. I kind of saw that coming because Thornton fucks with Toews all the time. And I get sick of hearing people like, the anti-hockey fight people. Like, you know, let me play hockey against you for years and fuck with you every time and cheap shot and talk shit every game and see if you don't want to hit me at some point. That's pretty much what happened.
Well, Thornton also took a couple jabs at him last year, and I think that some people
feel
contributed to him getting to Toews getting a concussion last year. So
yeah,
it's a little bit of retribution.
Nice elbow to the head he gave him or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thornton fucks with him all the time and Toews finally had enough of it. It was kind of funny though, because Thornton turned around and looked at him and he's like, you know, Toews like, come on, let's go. He's like, what? Are you serious? But I kind of appreciated Thornton not completely destroying a captain and hurting him really bad, which he could have done. He beat him in the fight, but kind of, it looked like he was taking it easy on him, because I've seen Thornton destroy some people if he wants to. Especially, you know, a guy like Toews wasn't a tough guy. He ain't much of a fighter, though.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of, Ken would call it, you know, the Neanderthal part of hockey. It's stupid and it didn't do anything, but it does something. You're stand up to the big kid in the playground, pretty much.
We're not going to go with the changing momentum,
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was about changing momentum. That was a personal thing, you know?
I know. I'm just trying to poke the bear with the, you know, jersey or sweater arguments, like us.
Sometimes that does work.
That's right.
But mainly, I'm all for fighting when somebody deserves to get their ass kicked. When, you know, take a cheap shot at a star player or something.
Let's go back.
Or you're a guy like Reeves who's just a dick.
Yeah. Let's go back to the game. 2-12. Excuse me. Sorry. Against the Ducks. This was a, a loss. I almost said the Hawks win again, but this was a loss. 3-2, Ducks win the game in a shootout. This is the game, I remember, where the Hawks had the lead, and they pissed it away late against the Ducks. Hawk goals in that game were by Letty and Shaw. There was a fight in this game between Brian Bickell and Brad Stabitz. I believe that was one of those plays where there was a... Oh, that's right. This was the game where Bickell had a pretty clean chuck against the glass of the boards. And one of the Brad Stabitz gentleman.
So he
took offense to the.
Right?
I'm sorry.
Did he get the instigator too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawks outshot the Ducks 31-30. Crawford was in the net. 6 penalties for the Hawks compared to 8 for the Ducks. Team high in shots was side with 6. Yeah, that was a game where it seemed like once they kind of blew the. If what I recall, just thinking about in my head and now playing it back. Was once they blew the game, you knew it wasn't going to bode well. But I guess, obviously, you can say that about a lot of games. In the case of tonight, they had the lead, blew it late, and still won. So I guess you can't always say, well, you know, once they were winning and then they started losing, I knew they were going to lose. But it seemed they had the making of one of those games where they're like, oh, this is just not going to go their way. Just whatever was happening, the momentum, if you will, wasn't going their way in that game. But
guys at work. You know, we're saying as they're talking about it, and they're like, so are you worried about tonight? I'm like, no, not really. They're like, oh, this is a trap game. This type of team that could beat the Hawks, you know, a team that's not really relevant. I'm like, well, that's fine. If the Hawks got to, if this streak has to end, let Columbus beat them. I just don't want it to happen Sunday. I got a bad feeling against, I don't want it to happen against Detroit.
Well,
I still think come playoff time, the Blackhawks, player for player, the Hawks would kick the shit out of them in a 7-game series. But
I think they would. Well, you're not going to worry about
it. But still, I just don't want Detroit getting anything accomplished against the Blackhawks with this streak.
Well, you won't have to worry about seeing Detroit much longer if the NHL has their way. But
yeah, I'm not happy about that either.
Well, the
Blackhawks are going to be in the West, the only original 16.
Yeah.
Well, so every time... I mean, the Hawks, every time the Hawks play on the East Coast, pretty much, it'll be a freaking NBC game on Channel 5 at noon.
Well,
you know, the other 5 teams are all in the East.
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of said a few thoughts about it on Facebook, but yeah, I guess just in general, my thoughts are, I understand the reason why Detroit wants to leave. It's a money thing, and they want to get more games in Eastern time zones so they could kind of renegotiate their TV contract. That makes sense for them.
Well, why the fuck didn't they think about that 50 years ago?
Probably because the money's there now. This is where the money is in TV contracts now rather than attendance and everything like that. So, I mean, I understand from their perspective why they want to do it. I don't really care about losing Columbus whatsoever. That doesn't mean anything to me at all. In fact, I'm glad with that. I don't want to see them anymore in my season ticket package, but that's another it's a personal issue. As a fan, though, I would love to see the Hawks either go to the Eastern Conference as well or just start playing a lot more of the Eastern Conference. I really don't care to watch a lot of the Western Conference teams. I don't need to see Calgary. I don't need to see Edmonton. I don't need to see... There's a lot of things I just don't need to see, and I don't really care about seeing. Like, I don't really... For me personally, the Kings, I don't need them. The Ducks, I don't need them. Like that, I just don't care about these teams personally. I mean, perhaps my mind has just been brainwashed by all the East Coast hockey that's been on NBC and ESPN over the couple of years. But I much prefer watching the East Coast teams rather than the West, the real West Coast teams. But
no, you know what? You know why I start to hate these teams really is because teams like Vancouver will start a game at 9:30 on a Wednesday night against the Hawks. well, 9:30 our time.
Exactly, yeah.
It aggravates the piss out of me. It's like, you know, I think about it. It's like, I was looking, you know, last year, I was looking forward to it. It's like, you know, all right, we've got an East Coast game. Cool, 6 o'clock start. Game be over by 9 o'clock. All right, no problem. But, you know, a lot of times you're on the road in the West Coast, it's a different time zone.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with baseball. I get a lot of those 9:30 starts or almost 9:45. It's like, what the fuck, man? I can't, you know, I ain't staying up for that shit. Yeah. Especially when it's the White Sox, then you know they're going to get slaughtered anyway. It's like, you know what? I'm going to bed. I don't need this. I don't need this fucking 8-0 loss to Anaheim. I don't need that either. Nothing for that.
Yeah, they're one game, games I haven't stayed awake for in years. I'm not watching the White Sox at Oakland. Which, if I remember, they did okay there the last couple of years, but...
They've gotten better there. They have. Jumping back, so... well, I guess one game I'll just quickly touch on was 2-10 versus Nashville. A 3-0 Hawks win. That was the first shutout, the first since March 23rd, 2011. The long national nightmare was over. They finally got the shutout there. The Hawk goals in that game was Kruger, Taves, and Kane. Andrew Shaw had a fight. I remember it. I think I remember him getting the worst end of it. It wasn't a beating or anything like that, but I just remember him coming out the loser. Hawks, I shot the Coyotes, 27-17. Only 5 penalties in the game total, 2 for the Hawks, 3 for the for Nashville. And the Wyatt Coyotes here. That's weird. Unless they had a little note there. My apologies. That game, I remember also being similar to the Blues game we saw the other night. It was kind of a dominant beating of Nashville is what I kind of remember that game being. Kind of a game that was never really close, never really up for debate. Let's see. What are the games that I want to talk about? You know what? These are the games. Let's talk about this game for a second. The 2-7 game against the Coyotes. This was the return of Rafi Torres. Not sure the return, at least against the Blackhawks, his return. He came back before that. But Rafi Torres. And we, of course, there was fisticuffs in this game involving Jamal Mayers fighting Rafi Torres early in that game to kind of settle the issue.
I think they could have sent somebody better after him if you want. I mean, I understand they wanted to make this. Pretty much wanted to get the point across that was going to happen, but Jamal Mayers is not what he used to be, and yeah, Mayers probably wanted him, but it was kind of funny how that went down. I was replaying it, trying to get the sign if, you know, when what Quenneville did, if he just gave a nod of the head and said, Mayers, get your ass out there or what, but either way, you know, Torres looked like he was trying to get off the bench, and Mayer's like, ah, where are you going?
The Coyotes also lost their cool in that game. The Hawks won the game 6-2, so once the kind of, I guess when the scoreboard kind of starts to tilt, obviously not in your favor, you kind of lose control quickly, but the Hawks were called for 4 penalties in the game compared to 12 for the Coyotes. I know there are a couple of, I think there were a couple, you know, sportsman-like penalties and a couple just being an asshole kind of penalties that were called in that game there.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if they would announce it like they do in football? Being an asshole, 2 minutes.
there's a couple of those, not famous, but a couple of those just kind of funny clips on YouTube where most of them are college football, but you know, the referee says he's getting like 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct or something like that for giving him the business.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
15 yards for giving him the business? Yeah, exactly. 6-2, Hawks won that game. Just out-and-out domination throughout the whole game. Stallberg with the goal, King with 2, Boland, Taves, and Bickle with the goals in that game. I don't really remember much of that game outside of the fight and all the goals being scored. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about? Okay, let's go back to 2-5 against the Sharks. 5-3 Hawks win in that game. The thing of that game that I remember was Duncan Keith getting into a scrap on that one with Andrew Desjardins. That is when he kind of took a, I don't know, I guess if you want to call it a cheap shot, whatever you want to call it, at Mayers. And then Keith stepped in there for his teammate and got into a scrap.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Hawks got 7 penalties in the game. 4 of them were given to Duncan Keith on the fight. You know, he got instigator, then he got the penalty for having the fighting with the visor on, all that kind of crap like that. So,
yeah, you know what? That's like one of the rules they never call. I mean,
instigating with the visor.
You know, I actually thought the visor was originally like an unwritten rule. You know, because you never. There's plenty of guys that act like dicks all the time and try to start shit that wear a visor. You know, they're all over the league, and they never get called for shit like that. Mm-hmm. But then I see, you know, getting called for starting shit with a visor on. I was like, you know, I always thought that was just like an unwritten rule. I got a visor. I'm not, you know, I'm not a goon. But there's a couple of dicks on Vancouver that are nothing but, well, they're jaw jabbers. I'm pretty sure Burroughs wears a visor, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah, okay.
Well, pretty much most of the guys in the league now wear a visor, unless you're kind of one of the older time guys that doesn't want to wear it, but pretty much everyone does now, it seems like to me. The last game we had to talk about, we touched on it earlier, was the game on 2-2 against Calgary, in Calgary. Hawks won that game 3-2 in a shootout. This game would be remembered for Ray Emery. Basically stealing the game for the Hawks. They were outshot 47-19
in
the game. And it was actually a little bit, just to break it down a little further, they were outshot 24-6 just in the third period alone of the game. So, what else do we have in the game? Oh, we had Brandon Bolig, of course, with a fight. It's kind of what he's known for now, is getting into the game and starting a trouble. Hawk goals in the game scored by Kane and Hossa. Kane also got the goal in the shootout as well. Remember about that game was Hossa got the goal late with like 2 seconds to go or 0.2, like 0.02 or something, 2 seconds to go late in the game. He got the goal to send it to overtime when it looked like the Hawks were going to lose. I had a quote in here from Coach Q. He said, quote, "That was criminal," end quote. then he proceeded to say, "They've got to call the cops after that performance. Emery stole 2 points. He was spectacular. I have never, ever been outplayed, outchanced like that in my life. That was a special performance, and it continued on in the shootout." So, game was certainly very frustrating to watch, considering how, if you pointed out badly, they were outplayed and obviously outgunned, seemingly, by the
That was the game I was talking about, where just like, I mean, Calgary looked like the most dominant team you played. They must have just had a really hot night.
Yeah. Well, the thing about, I remember from people, from watching that game and even after that game, was listening to people saying, but, you know, Calgary doesn't score. Like, they're okay, but they can't score any goals. It's like, yeah. Sure, seen that way. You get 47 shots, you don't get even scoring a goal. Yeah, I mean, they got 2 goals, okay, but not 47 shots, though. You get more than that. But, kind of obviously not as in depth as like the going out of the games, but since we've had so many games to cover, and it's been obviously a month now since all those games transpired, so it's kind of tough to
remember. You ever heard the big rumor mill going around that supposedly Ottawa and Calgary are scouting Rockford like freaking Hawks? I mean, they're just all over Rockford. I don't know if that's, of course, they've been at Hawks games too, but there's talk out there that it's not so much the Hawks pushing to make a move. It's, you know, Ottawa's looking to move some people and they're wanting to deal with the Hawks. I wonder if I can turn that off. I don't know. I talked to Andy. Andy gets really freaking crazy about some of the stuff, so I don't really. There's some of the stuff he comes up with, man. I don't know where he gets it from, but it just sounds completely crazy.
No, I have.
He's saying there's, you know, there's rumors out there that he's saying that, you know, Hawks looking to get rid of Bolin.
Well,
looking to get Bufflin back.
Hmm.
getting butt fucked back, and then I didn't even talk of like Sharp being involved in talks. I was like, the first thing I come up with is like, why in the fuck would they trade anybody that's a regular on this team right now when they haven't lost a game?
Well,
PR machine, McDonough, is not going to allow Sharp to go anywhere.
Big Chief Jackoff? Yeah, you're talking about.
Yeah. Chief Jackoff. Yeah.
There you go.
But, yeah, there's a bunch of goofy rumors going around, and I don't know. You know, they're talking about, you know, there were rumors going on Chris Neal from Ottawa. That's I'd like to see him in a Hawk uniform.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard any. This is the first time hearing any of that, so I really can't speak to the validity of it.
I gotta take a look at the blog, John Jackal. I guess that's where Andy's getting a lot of his from.
Yeah, John Jackal's on Hockey Buzz, the site of the hockey blogger Eklund, who's kind of more of a, you know, dirt mocker. He just kind of throws some shit out there, and sometimes it's accurate.
Yeah, but no, he's pretty damn accurate with a lot of stuff that goes on. Again, he's gotten better. Before, you know, he was just throwing some shit out there.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know about the rumors, but at this point, yeah, hard to imagine.
I haven't seen this. I don't know if he. I don't know if he wrote it. All I know is that's what Andy was telling me. That's where he gets a lot of it from. And well, it sounds like if he's getting any of these rumors, it's got to be from Eklund.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of times you get a lot of that kind of the Phil Rogers school of rumors, where it's a lot of, you know.
Rogers.
Yeah, you know, like Phil Rogers, one of the who's good at making up trades. Like, you know, in his own mind, it'd be a good idea if, you know, if the White Sox traded player A for player B. It's like, well, yeah, that'd be a great idea to you, but that's not a realistic option. You know, that's not going to happen. No team's going to do that. But, you know, we touched briefly on the realignment thing earlier. I don't know if you wanted to dig any deeper into that here, but. So basically what you'd have is you'd have four divisions as opposed to the six we have now, and the Hawks in their division would be, of course, them, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, St. Louis, and Winnipeg.
That's a big bottle of weak sauce.
Yeah, well, I mean,
only team in there that I like hearing about is St. Louis.
Well, I mean, I like Winnipeg, personally. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them come in more, but,
What are they going to do, though? They're not building anything.
Who, Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Winnipeg's got, like, a fan base, and they've got Ladd, and they've got Buffalo, and they've got some players that people would want to see. I'd like to see Winnipeg come in, but that's...
I'd like to see them get better, yeah, but... They're not very good. They still got the same idiot owners they had in Atlanta. As far as I know.
No, they sold. No, it's a new ownership when they sold.
Is it a new ownership?
Yeah.
Okay, oh, my bad.
That's okay. You'd have that, and then the other, I guess you can see if you want to say Western Conference Division, would be Anaheim, Calgary, Edmonton, L.A., Phoenix, San Jose, and Vancouver.
Let them stay where the fuck they're at.
I know. I could do without all those teams. Personally, I don't need to say those teams ever again. I mean, the only, seemingly one of the good things about the realignment, if it does indeed go into effect, which is kind of still seems to be up for debate, but would be that each team would play each other twice, at home and home. So you would get to see the Hawks against the original six every year. Which is certainly a welcome addition to the schedule.
Yeah.
I very much like to see those matchups, personally. Going out east, you would have Buffalo, Detroit, Florida, Montreal, Ottawa, Tampa Bay, and Toronto.
Detroit's going to have to change their game if they're going to go into the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, especially there, yeah.
Dude, that's a different... It's a different brand of hockey. Those guys are still trying to play like it's the 90s.
Well, I mean
they're a bunch of fucking cheap shot roughneck assholes. They don't play finesse.
I mean, looking at that group, I mean, certainly Boston plays a much more physical style. Tampa Bay's not quite as physical, obviously, but still. I mean, you're somewhat fortunate they're not in the last one is the Atlantic, which has got Carolina, which is, I mean, come on, seriously, now. Columbus, again, stop, please. Please go away. New Jersey, the Islanders, which will soon be the Brooklyn Islanders, hopefully sooner rather than later. The Rangers, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington.
Hmm.
So, I mean, now that could lead to some interesting matchups personally there. But, I mean, Columbus, please. I mean, the Cubs of hockey, the doormat of hockey, please, go away. We don't need
Columbus can just get the fuck out of here. Why don't they just move them back? Move them to Canada.
Yeah, please go somewhere. I don't have anything against the fans or anything like that, but yeah, I mean I don't think that's ridiculous.
You know, Columbus is so damn close. I mean, they can't compete with anything. They're so damn close to Pittsburgh. They're not that far from Philly. You know, I mean, all that East Coast shit, it's all piled on top of each other, all within a few hours of everything.
I need Columbus to go away to a new city and get a new uniform, and that way I will take you seriously again. I will invest time in learning new players again. But overall, so that's the plan here, and I guess obviously we would end up with some divisional playoffs again, which would be interesting.
What are they going to call those divisions now?
This is an article I'm looking at Yahoo, and they have it as the Atlantic, the Central, the Midwest, and the Pacific.
I thought they're going to bring some of those old names back.
Well, that might be the case, but this is just what Yahoo is referring them to, referring them to. I originally saw this come out on Twitter. Actually, I guess Hockey Night in Canada had it, and they had a graphic for it, and these were the names they used as well. I mean, obviously, they just could be trying to keep it simple as they try to. You know, this is all proposed; nothing's official, nothing is set in stone to occur yet. But any other notes here about it? So obviously, Detroit and Columbus are the two main teams switching, Western to East. I don't know. I'm not totally against it. I guess people seem to somewhat be against it more for the kind of the imbalance between the number of teams in each.
Wait, Columbus and Detroit would be going east.
Right.
Then is there an uneven number, or is there just going to be less teams in the west? Well, we would be picking up Winnipeg, right?
Right.
Okay, so I don't know the exact numbers. I think we'll be off by one team or something as far as...
Right, so you're going to have 16 teams in this potential new look east, and you would have... ...14 teams in this new look west. So 16 to 14.
Give me 1 minute, Ian.
Sure.
Okay. Our special guest, my wife was hanging with me tonight, listening to the show.
Very well.
She's tired, she's going to sleep, I'm boring the shit out of her.
Oh, well, you're What a great discussion. I feel like I've seen much more detail about the realignment in another article, so this quick Google search to get me the article was not the best. So the plan would reduce the number of divisions from 6 to 4 and alter the playoffs to include wild card teams. The new postseason setup would include divisional playoffs instead of seeding based on conference finish during the regular season.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I don't know. I kind of like it the way they got it now. The top 8 get in, that's it.
Well, it goes on to say the top 3 teams in each division would secure berths, and the remaining 4 spots would go to wild cards. The division winner with the most regular season points would face the lowest seeded wild card.
Wait, whoa. There's 6 guaranteed, and then There's four more spots.
Oh, this is what it says. It says the top three teams in each division. Yeah, so basically, because there's two, basically, if you look at it this way, there's two divisions now in each conference. So three from each division get in, and then you get two wild card spots. So you get the, so you get your three in each division, that's six, and then you get two wild cards.
Fuck, they're going to have 20 fucking teams in the playoffs now.
No, no, it's still 16. You're just going to have... It's still going to be 8-8. It's just they're going to change how they do it now. So you're going to have...
Okay.
Yeah, so theoretically, you could have Chicago, Colorado, and Dallas be your quote-unquote top three in the division they get in. And then in the specific, you have Anaheim, Calgary, and Edmonton, top three, they get in. And then you have two wild card teams out of the West get in. You know, similar how baseball does this stupid shit.
Oh, okay, two to get in, not two more, okay.
Correct, yeah.
Exactly. I thought you were talking about like the last four, you know, the four below that. I'm like, get
out of here. No. Yeah, so it's still going to be the same number of playoff teams. They're just changing how the seeding process is going to work. And it seems like it's similar.
It's similar to baseball. They should kind of do it that way. I think in order to get into like the semifinals or even closer to that, you should have battled in your division first, I think. Plus, I just dread, you know, it's like you get punished if you go to the fucking conference finals. Or if you got to play, you know, San Jose in the first round or something like that. It's like, I remember when the Hawks got to the Cup Finals. Like, oh, thank God, no game starting past 7 o'clock. That's a part that, man. You know, I kind of wish the Hawks would go to the East Coast. Even though I hate all those fucking teams, it would make me actually more of a typical hockey fan. Typical hockey fans are so angry all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be better from a fan's perspective, at least to me it would be, but yeah, I mean, if they went to the East, you'd obviously get to keep all your Detroit games, you'd get a lot more Montreal, you get a lot more Toronto, theoretically, in that case, you'd get more...
Yeah, we'd want to see Blackhawks and Canadians.
Yeah, I mean, well...
The Canadians suck.
Well, like I said, I mean, at least now you're going to get a home and home with them every year, which is certainly better than nothing, obviously. But yeah, I mean, if they were in the same, you know, same conference, that would be great.
Yeah, well, that ain't gonna happen for another 10 fucking years because the Red Wings have been stomping their feet and crying about this for like 10 years now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing that's been interesting people have talked about is obviously now with the imbalance between the number of teams and the conferences. Is there going to be, you know, are two teams going to go away? Are two teams going to come in? You know, Lord only knows.
With the way the NHL does things, they're not going to do the smart thing and get rid of two teams. Even though they should. I think four teams should go, I'll tell you the truth, but... That's me who thinks hockey has been watered down. I'm not the only one who thinks that either. We could have that discussion all day. You can pick four teams on the West Coast off the top of your head that can get the fuck out of here. We got no business having an ice rink. You know what? Keep it there. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I went to Arizona to visit my cousins, and I saw the Phoenix Roadrunners. And I don't even think they were, I don't even remember who they were affiliated with, if they were at the time. The Coyotes weren't even around yet. But that was like a cool thing. It's like all young kids, you know, in their 20s going to those games and all that. And that was their thing. Well, that's what it should be. Hockey shouldn't be taken that serious in fucking Arizona. It's hard enough to have playoff games in Chicago in June. I mean, they're having so many problems with the humidity and all that. I mean, yeah, it's not humid like that in Arizona, but how fucking hard is it to have good ice in, like, Texas, Arizona, and San Jose and stuff like that in fucking July when it's 110 degrees?
Pretty complicated, I would say.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, like I said, I guess from just the Hawks' perspective, losing Detroit's kind of bad, at least a rivalry, and being able to, you know, have, you know, good games to go to as a fan. I like Winnipeg coming in. I guess, like I said, I would prefer them to just jump to the East too at this point, just to keep, you know, just to get some more.
Can you imagine a conference rival of the Hawks with the Penguins and the fucking Flyers? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know quite enough. That's what they'd end up doing. I think they'd end up getting slotted on the same thing with, you know, with Columbus and Detroit, and it'd basically be the same kind of thing. But yeah, no, it certainly would be interesting. I mean, I don't know. They can always do something with like be like baseball, just be stupid and have crazy realignment, doesn't make any sense at all, and just have teams all over the place playing each other randomly. And
yeah,
I think I joked on Twitter. I was like, yeah, just pull the fucking names out of a hat. Whatever, you know, whatever.
You know, I kind of liked it the way it was in baseball back in the day, where you didn't see those National League teams until the World Series or the All-Star game.
Well, to a certain degree, in some ways, it's kind of how you have it now a little bit, because, I mean, obviously the Hawks do play Eastern Conference teams, but you very rarely see them against Toronto or seeing them against Montreal.
In baseball, at one point, there was none of that. You didn't play the National League at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mean, obviously now with the amount of money that can be made and being able to get those teams and those superstars, you know, into your arena to sell tickets, it's.
Speaking of that, the fucking Astros in the American League now.
Good.
I'm still kind of PO'd about the Brewers going to the National League. I miss that old White Sox Brewers rivalry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's a little young. It was a reference point, but. As far as the Astros coming in, those should be some very easy victories, so that's fine for me.
Yeah, I know
certainly
White Sox beat them in the World Series, but you know what? That was a fluke for them.
Yeah, no, I mean the Astros are an absolutely horrible baseball team. They're gonna get the moon pounding of a lifetime in the American League West. This was the absolute worst era, so to speak, for them to, or the worst time period. For them to be going into the American League West, I mean, with as stacked as that thing is now, with
God,
and with I mean, granted,
Anaheim's ridiculous. That's a lineup.
Yeah, well, when you look at, you know, the champion was Oakland, and I don't know if you can expect them to duplicate what they did last year. Texas kind of went down a little bit, and they're losing Hamilton. You know, obviously Anaheim, as you mentioned, with Pujols, obviously with Trout now for the full year. With Hamilton coming in now, Lord knows what Hamilton will, what, you know, he's, what guy's gonna show up, so to speak. I guess he showed up, lost 20 pounds, or, you know, the typical, you know, half his body weight disappeared kind of story, and you know, he just changed his diet. Okay.
No steroids, more crack.
Yeah, he changed his diet. Less potato chips this year. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you look
like Canseco. He used to say, "No, I stopped eating peanut butter." Okay.
Well, I mean, if you just look at it from the standpoint of the Astros were a 100-loss type team, if not a legitimate 100-loss type team last year in the National League Central, then now they're going into the American League West with horrible pitching up against teams who smoke the ball. It's like they're in for a world of hurt. I think they're going to get another 100-loss season coming their way. But, yeah, I guess it's part of the deal. I think that's just how baseball was. They wanted to do it, so they did it. Trying to think what else talk-wise to talk about. I guess the trading deadline is coming up somewhat soon, as you mentioned here. I don't know the exact date because of the crazy lockout here. Quickly, I'll look it up here, see if I can ascertain when the deadline is here. We just had the NBA trading deadline pass. I'm not a big NBA fan, but absolutely nothing happening there either. Kind of see par for the course. A lot of sports now. The trade deadline is nothing fun anymore. Like it seemed like it used to be.
When's the trade deadline for the NHL coming up? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm attempting to ascertain that information.
Simone Gagné traded to Philly for a conditional draft pick. Wow. He must really suck. Because that move doesn't make the Kings any better.
Let's see here. Check the old interwebs and see if we can find some accurate information. I'm sure we will not be able to do so. Of course not. Of course not. The internet's best friend, Wikipedia, has zero information on this. Shocker.
Oh, what the fuck?
That kind of shows you where the NHL is in the scheme of things. Huh? Let's see what the official website of hockey, where fans go to get hockey, apparently. Let's see what they say about the whole thing, if anything. Typical of the NHL. You think you should be able to just, I don't know, just, interesting. Wow. Well, their website is not for helpful either. Here we go. Well, according to a couple of stories here, it seems like it is April 3rd, if I'm reading this accurately. That seems too far, but that's what this article says on the NHL website. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's what it says, so I'll just take their word for it, but I will try to secondhand.
On the NHL website, that'd be right.
Well, it's in, like, I just went to the search function and typed in trade deadline, and it's in, like, a story where it's talking about something else, but it just says, gearing up for the April 3rd trade deadline, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I will try to secondhand source. Let me try TSM. They'll probably have a better idea. But I guess as far as the Hawks go, I don't expect them to make any trades whatsoever unless there's an injury that occurs between now and then. They don't seem to be the type that wants to make any bold moves similar to like the Bulls type of a thing.
No, I don't either. I mean, they, look what they're doing. I mean, like I said, you can find something to complain about if you want to bitch, but you hear me tonight. I don't have any complaints. I mean, yeah, it looked like shit in a couple games, but they haven't lost. What can you really complain about, and why would you want to fuck with what they got? I mean, I wouldn't be trading anybody that's on the ice right now.
What is happening there, sir?
Trying to fix the damn container. Putting this shit away. Sorry, not very professional. Alright. I'm done with that. It's not bothering me anymore.
No, that's okay. That's fine. Apparently, this is a secretive date, Mike. No one's allowed to know this information, apparently. My God, even on a place you think would have the scoop, have the dirt, it's not there.
This is going to be one of those odd years where all these teams are going to be trying to get it at Blackhawk prospects or players on their team, young or old guys, and it's going to be one of those years instead of where the Hawks are looking to make trades and can't make them, Hawks are going to be turning down trades.
Oh, well, the Hawks are good at turning down trades. Try one last search here. I can't find it this one.
There may be minor league trades, but I don't see much going on the ice. Tell you one thing, though. I'm pretty sure Dave Bolin's a UFA at the end of the year, isn't he?
Yeah, if it's not this year, it's next. And he makes, I think, $4 or $5 million, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got back problems again.
Yeah, I would certainly not be surprised if he's not back, or if he is, it's going to have to be at a reduced rate. Because, they've been able to play decently well without him. Go to some website, and then, there's always, pop-ups to come up with, do you want free email updates, or do you want to take this survey? It's like, fuck off. No. I don't want to do that right now. I do not, sir. I do not. Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, would you be, I don't know, offended, so to speak, if they let Bolin go, or?
Yeah, what?
I mean, would you be mad if they let Bolin go, whether it be by a trade or?
No. Not sure if I would like it if they did it, you know, this season, during the season, just because, you know, they got enough centers now, but without him, they're back to the same problem they had, you know. Even though he's having a hard time with faceoffs, you know, he's going to be back to himself. He's going to be better. He's Dave Bowen, you know. He's known to be pretty good at faceoffs. And he does bring some stuff to the table, but when it comes to signing him for another, you know, deal for big money, you got to think about that. So if it was off season, I wouldn't mind. You know, you can trade him. But right now, no, I wouldn't want him to get traded.
Okay, and just to confirm, so April 3rd is the deadline. April 27th is the end of the regular season. So very late in the season. So, I mean, it's almost as if you could say it's, I mean, really not much of a, you know, not much of a time period for a guy to come in and really make an impact. Usually teams want to, you know, they want to make a trade for guys. They can get him for the second half and make a big run or something like that, but there's really not a lot of time.
Oh, like L.A. rebuilt their team last year? That's, you know, I'm bitching about it. You know, hats off to them. You know, that's what every fan thinks about when you're struggling to get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden you make a few trades and get some stars, and well, what do you know? We won the cup.
So Boland, he is signed. He has a contract that pays him until the 2013-2014 season. So he's got this season and next season, and then after the 2013-14.
After this season, trade him. That's what I would say.
Well, certainly an option, yeah.
You could get something for him if he's got a year left, you know?
Yeah, his cap hit, according to this, is 3.375.
Not too bad, but...
Yeah, maybe his
salary is higher. He's not in your future plans. You can definitely get something for him.
Yeah, well, I think perhaps with his back, they feel like, you know, they don't want to invest the money in a guy who's going to have a, you know, back problem all the time. You know, certainly not as bad as like an Eric Daze type guy who's had to have back surgery after back surgery type thing. But.
Well, makes me really hope and wish that Kevin Hayes will be ready soon. He's a center.
Yeah, I think he was, if I remember hearing, he was suspended from his.
I don't know what he did, and I want to know what he did, because how does their star player get suspended from... And it's not like the NCAA suspended him. It was Boston College.
Yeah, sometimes you don't follow the rules, you get in trouble. So.
Oh, I wonder, what did he do, him blow off a hooker's ass at a frat party or what?
Well, I don't know if that type of thing is frowned upon. I don't know. I wasn't there.
It's not illegal. It's frowned upon.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't pass out the rule book to me. I don't know. Yeah, hey. I didn't say
hey, anything. If it was, more power to him, man. He's in college.
Exactly.
But you know what? If I was there, well, me, of course, I was never the college type, but if I was drafted by the Blackhawks and then Boston College went suspending me, I would say, you know what? Pick your scholarship up your ass. I'm going to Rockford. Fuck you.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what how serious
course,
it was,
maybe,
how committed he is to
it,
getting an education. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe it, because my attitude, the way it is why I'm a fucking dumb truck driver and not a professional hockey player.
Again, I wasn't there. I don't know who said what when.
Of course, but, me and Andy were talking one day about, you know, just in Dreamland. You know, we're talking about some of these young guys in the Hawks, like. Can you imagine if we had the talent some of these guys had and then get the money? And Andy would say, he's like, yeah, me and him would both be dead. I think Patrick Kane goes on little party tours. You just saw me and Andy when you know, like around, well, shit, even when we were in high school, when he was in college. Fuck. Anyway, we had a Facebook post from Andy. This comparison, it kind of doesn't, we'll say. I just posted something, you know, ESPN NHL, Blackhawks extended NHL record, season opening point streak, 21 games, 18-0-3 with 4-3 overtime win over the Jackets. So Andy comments on this and says, "This reminds me of the Jordan days. You knew the Bulls would win, down by 12 with 8 minutes to go. Jordan takes over the game, rattles off 18 points in the fourth quarter, Bulls win by 10. Well, I can see what he's saying, but it's not, I don't know. Hawks aren't at that stake yet.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That was after, like, two championships that started happening.
This is unrelated to the show, but I am watching, I have Comcast, obviously, because that's the channel the Hawk game was on tonight, and the post game came on, and we started recording the show. And now there's some, I don't know, World Poker Tour or something like that on TV.
That makes me angry.
Well, I mean, I don't play poker, I don't know anything about poker, so I don't really care.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, the only reason why I'm bringing it up is, apparently this show, they have some ladies called the Royal Flush Girls, who conveniently, like, sit in the background of all the camera shots when they're showing, you know, the guy kind of sitting at the table thinking about what cards he's going to play or something like that. And it's like six chicks all wearing the exact same dress. You know, kind of like how Deal or No Deal does it with all the girls wear the exact same attire type thing. I mean, they're good-looking ladies, but it's just like, do we need you hot chicks there while you watch these guys look at their cards? I mean, I guess, yeah, but it's just like, I don't... What does that have to do with cards? I guess nothing. But so you have there's two guys who apparently who give you the play-by-play. There's some type of a female sideline reporter, if you will, or you know, off to the side reporter, and then like six chicks wearing the same dress for like a half-hour show.
Watching cards, watching people play poker, it's like watching golf.
Oh wow, you're putting the mouth on it, huh?
But it's worse because. How do you do play-by-play when you don't know what somebody's going to do?
Ah, it's...
They're trying to hide everything. They're just talking. That's all they're doing, kind of like what we do.
Yeah,
difference is,
that's better, though.
I got that shit on my fucking TV, and I don't have NHL on the fly. It makes me angry.
Well, you have to get rid of U-verse or whatever.
And when I, you know... And then even later than this, when that bullshit is over... You got fucking bull riding or something. I mean, fuck, give me a tractor pull or fucking crash car derby or something.
Well, they did have that one. I was in Atlanta. I was we were working next to the Georgia Dome, and they had motocross racing there one night. That brought in the town folk. There were a lot of town folkian people there, if you will. You know, I do not see any. I see. Looking at the guy here, I see they're going to have the Sportsnet show, then Sports Talk Live, that David Kaplan show tonight, replay of the Hawk game. And later this evening, they have something, paid programming about Muffin Top, ? Wow, very exciting.
Muffin Top,
Yeah, that's right, to help you lose that fat belly of yours, fatty. That's, what's what it is. I mean, 11 o'clock is something called 10-minute workout for a half hour. That's great. Then there's
I think I'm going to pay the money on that NHL app on my phone and just get, like, the half-ass app where I can get NHL on the fly and stuff like that. I don't need to stream every single game. I think I'm going to pay for Game Center, watch on my phone, fuck the TV, fuck AT&T.
Yeah, I mean, that's somewhat how I feel. I mean, obviously, I mean, I have Comcast, and I'll need to get the channels, but... I mean, I only really have cable just to watch sports. That's it. Otherwise, I really don't have a need to watch cable. I don't want to watch all the TV shows, so it's...
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any fucking time. I have three kids running around here, so it's not like I can watch more than one, you know. I get a chance, and it's hard to watch a hockey game because it's chaos around here. But when the kids are asleep and stuff like that, I used to love it. I'd have NHL on the fly. I'd fucking record it. Or it didn't matter because it ran on a loop all the time.
Well, yeah, that's about the only programming they have or outside of when hockey was hockey type shows. You know.
Yeah, that's all
history
I...
History time pieces, yeah.
that's all I wanted to do was watch NHL on the fly. The games that I couldn't watch or didn't have time or didn't want to watch, you get to see every highlight of the game within a minute or two, you know, and it's perfect. If there was fights, if there was goals, nice defensive plays, they pointed out to you, and you get to see the important parts of East Coast games that you don't give a shit about. And that's all I want, so I'm going to get that for my phone, I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, make sure you talk about that. Don't do anything you shouldn't be doing, as always. Don't get yourself fired from this job. All right, well, I guess we'll kind of get ready to wrap it up here.
Speaking of not getting fired from my job, I have a safety training course tomorrow, a yearly course I got to take.
Yeah.
8 a.m., a bunch of bullshit.
Well, then it shouldn't be a problem.
They pretty much... I've been doing this over 10 years, so they pretty much tell you don't go inside a tank with a fucking lit lighter, you know, stuff like that.
Common sense stuff, huh?
Yeah, which, you know what, I don't go inside tanks anymore. That's what young guys are for. I have no need to go inside of tanks, and I don't haul acid, so it's not going to affect my aluminum truck.
Mm-hmm. See, now, if Ken were here, is this where he would say, you don't fit in a tank anymore? Oh!
That's part of it, too. I actually probably could squeeze my fat ass through the fucking manhole on top, but I'd probably get claustrophobic trying to get through the damn thing.
Yeah. Well, Ken's not here, so we don't got to worry about him saying such rude comments.
Oh, we gotta keep talking to Ken. Maybe he'll snap out of it one day.
He's, you know.
Ken's, for in case people don't know, Ken's just kind of bitter, pissed off, but more or less doesn't care. And he's sick of the NHL bullshit.
Yeah, he's just
which
sick
I
of
don't,
the labor disputes and kind of being taken advantage of, which I understand his point. So
I fuck with him every once in a while about it just because it's fun to make Ken angry, but I understand.
Yeah, I understand.
It just sucks because, you know, he adds a lot to the show. But
yeah, well,
hopefully he snaps out of it and comes back pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his general point is just that not, you know, during all the labor disputes and, you know, having the free time where he wasn't obligated to watch hockey, he found all the stuff he wanted to do with his time, whether it was, you know, personal stuff, family stuff, whatever it was, and that stuff is just priority right now, and hockey's not. And
he's got his mindset negative on something, he's the fucking worst to deal with, man. I'm telling you, he was like this with softball.
Well, I mean, but I'm sure there. I mean, not granted, the attendance figures and ratings don't kind of tell that story. But I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that are like that. That said, hey, you know, I enjoyed having my time, did not have, you know, having free time with my kids or whatever it is, not having to watch this crap.
Yeah.
And I found something else to do, and now it's back.
You know what most of those guys are?
Married?
Those are the guys that call, no, those are the guys that call up the store. Hey, I was there in old Chicago Stadium. They're not loud enough anymore. They don't know what real hockey is.
Oh, those guys, yeah. Dick Butkus, yeah. Dick Butka.
Danny Savard, I got out of there.
Did you have any closing thoughts as we get ready to close it out here, or do you have any thing else you gotta?
No, I think it kind of shows we're just bullshitting. So,
all right, no, that's fine. We'll try to get back next week.
Something about work, so we're out of stuff to talk about.
There you go.
Talk about that.
We'll try to get back hopefully next week.
I do have one thing. Speaking of work. I just go and upgrade my fucking personal phone plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get me and my wife share a gigabyte of data now. Unlimited text, unlimited calling, right? It costs me a little bit more a month, but it's okay. A week and a half later, Sprint is doing away with Nextel. Completely. So, well, my company's got to get new phones. Guess what we get to keep the fucking two-way radio? It all works off data now. They give us fucking smartphones with unlimited text, data, and talk. I don't think you see where I'm coming from there. I just wasted my money when I'm getting it for free now.
Yeah, well, I guess you should have signed that 2-year contract then. I don't tell you.
Well, it's getting, I don't know. I don't think I'll be using the company phone much anyway, because I just smell a trap anyway.
Well, yeah, it's very easy to track stuff on a company phone. Don't you do that for company calls? That's what it's there for.
Guaranteed, you know, they can't tell what you're doing on the internet, but they can tell when you're on it. Mm-hmm. And as I've been told, there's GPS on these phones. So.
Yeah, well, it's their point. Yeah, they want to know if they're going to give you a phone, they want to be able to get hold of you at all times and know where the hell you are. It makes sense from their perspective. But
whenever they call me up and ask me where I'm at, I'm like, well, wherever that little red dot on your screen is, I'm 5 miles west of there. I'm not there.
Not there. That's right. Well, I guess for quick contact information, you can get me on Twitter, emartin15. You can get, what else we have? Oh, we got the email, glovesoffradio@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page, Gloves Off Radio, I believe it's called on Facebook. That's too many names to remember all this stuff for. And then we have the Twitter account as well for our show.
Gloves Off Radio. At Gloves Off Radio.
Yeah, it's right? That's correct. That is correct. We're getting a lot of followers down there. Appreciate everybody taking the time to follow back, tweeting back at us. Appreciate that. I think that's about it. So we'll try to get back next week, because obviously we'll be...
on iTunes also.
That's right, yeah. That's.
But you know what? I just saw that for the first time. Because you know me, I hate iTunes.
Yeah.
But my wife just got an iPhone, and I just wanted to check it out. I'm like, man, why don't you look us up? I want to see how it shows up. And there it is, all the shows on there. Nice and easy.
Yep. All you got to do is go to the podcast section of in iTunes, the store, and then just type in Gloves Off Radio. You can subscribe. It'll come free to your iTunes section whenever we put a new show out there, which hopefully we'll be able to get a new show out in the next week or so. Provided everybody's schedule works out, we can talk about the fresh games in our mind as opposed to games from a month ago due to other scenarios that took place. But
I tell it was a little bit rough at the start. I wasn't thinking straight. I'm talking about bad eyes in Columbus when we're at home tonight.
Yeah, well, like I said, in my case, I was gone for 9 days of work and I didn't get to see a lot of the games. So you kind of get thrown up.
I was ready to just hang up at that point. I'm like, this is going bad.
Well, the highlights only get you so far. You can't talk about, you know, cheap shots or, you know, whatever, fights, fisticuffs and crap like that. But, all right, so any closing words for you there before you sign off here? Or?
No, thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll be back next weekend, and we're going to try to con Ken into getting back on here at some point.
I'll leave that up to you. You're a great con man.
Yeah, at times. Got to give him a few beers, though. I didn't drink them quick enough tonight.
That's right, yeah. You don't seem as rowdy tonight. My wife said to leave drinking to you.
Oh, man. Ken can ignore this forever. I mean, Hawks keep going on a streak like this coming near playoff time. I think he'll get the itch to really get into it again. The guy's more of a hardcore hockey fan than either me or you, man. The guy's like an encyclopedia.
Maybe he'll say, I haven't been watching. I don't read the paper. I don't know what's going on. Guys, I don't know what's going on. Alright, well, with that being said, we'll just sign off here, everybody, and then we'll talk to you again after a while.
Alright, thanks for listening.